Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's High Content Business Accelerator call for the Success Circle. I'm Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates, home of the Entrepreneurial Edge System and Success Circle. And welcome to all new Success Circle members and existing Elite and Select Success Circle members. This is your High Content Business Accelerator call, which is designed to take a deeper dive into the strategies and tactics of the Entrepreneurial Edge System so you can build a business you love faster with less effort and on purpose. So welcome to today's call. I just also want to remind the Elite Success Circle members that you're going to get a CD of this Business Accelerator call into your in your mailbox. So you could use it for your mobile university, and so watch for it to arrive. And thank you so much for being an Elite member. Okay, what is the High Content Business Accelerator call? Well, if you're brand new, it's, as I said, we take a deep dive into the strategies and tactics in today's call I'll tell you about in just a minute. But before I do, how I normally do start the High Content calls and the Q&A calls is to share with you some upcoming events. So we do have a couple of upcoming events. Let's see. We have one on Wednesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's November 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. It's part of the Business Growth Teleseminar Series, and it's called How to Go from Startup to Success Story. How to Go from Startup to Success Story. You can get to the registration page by going to tinyurl.com/BGT. Startup. And again, that's tiny, T-I-N-Y-U-R-L, letters U-R-L, .com/BGT. That they stand for Business Growth Teleseminar, so BGT, Startup. And you can register for that call and find out what it's all about. Where if you know somebody who's in startup mode, I would invite them to that. Why? Because we're going to go through a lot of different tips in how to not only the things that you must have in your business, but also some important strategies in how to seal the deal 98% of the time. And also we're going to cover what you need to have to stay consistently motivated while you are running your business. So that's a great, it's a great teleseminar that's coming up, so I would definitely register for it and tell your friends who might also be starting up their business. You can also get to it under the events page of our main website at accelerateassociates.com and register for it there as well. A reminder about the Q&A call. The Q&A call is the calls where you submit a question and I answer them for you. And in fact, if you can attend that call live and ask your question, we give you a special call-in number and code so that you can join us live and ask your question and get some group coaching. Because I guarantee you, if you have a question that you want to ask, someone else has the same question. So it's always great to submit those. It could be a question about today's Business Accelerator call or some other question that you might have about the Entrepreneurial Edge System as you work through that, or maybe just a rogue question that you have about growing your business. You want to submit those to the Friday prior to info@accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And we'll get your question answered on that call. And again, that is going to be on Tuesday, November 22nd at 4:30 p.m. We always recommend that you use the recurring function in your calendar to set the second Tuesday of each month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time on your calendar for the High Content Business Accelerator call and the fourth Tuesday of each month for the Q&A call, again at 4:30. So we try to keep it at the same time. Also, mark your calendars for, and this is a couple months ahead, but 4 or 5 months ahead, but the Entrepreneurial Edge System Live 3-day intensive is happening on April 26th, 27th, and 28th of 2012. It's going to be held at Davenport University, which is one of our key sponsors for that event, along with Marketing Monsoon, Referral Institute of Michigan, Ready, Set, Mail, and A Creative Solution. So we've got some really great sponsors for that event, and it's going to be held right next to the Embassy Suites Hotel. So we're really pleased that Davenport University is going to be one of those sponsors, and we're holding it there. So great, very convenient location as well. Okay, well, I hope you have a really big pen or pens available and a lot of paper, or you're ready to start typing at your computer, because I have got some really great business building information for you. Now, a lot of times we spend time, or a lot of sessions that we've spent in helping you seal the deal 98% of the time. And I have shared with you the four keys to sealing the deal 98% of the time. And just as a review, number one, you want to be exact to attract, because a clearly defined ideal client is necessary so you know exactly where they hang out in large numbers. But it's very difficult for you to execute on things if you don't know where your clients are hanging out, or if you're not clear in your mind who an ideal client is. And I also shared with you the number two key to sealing the deal 98% of the time is to create a very clear sales funnel. Now, that's going to be very true for today's Business Accelerator call as well, because you're going to really need to know your sales funnel for potentially an unsell. And I'll tell you more about what that unsell is too. Number three, the third key in sealing the deal 98% of the time is to develop stay-in-touch systems. There is a huge benefit to having an already existing stay-in-touch system, especially when you come to an unsell, a time where you have to unsell, and how you stay in touch with that person and really create that relationship. And the fourth to really sealing the deal 98% of the time is to develop choices. You know, most people make the mistake when they build a business model, that yes or no and go model, right? The yes, I'll work with you, or no, I won't, and I will go away. And today we're going to specifically talk about, though, unselling. And, we spend so much time learning about the selling process and the prospect to conversion process and about pull marketing, pulling in your ideal clients, that, you know, and positioning yourself so people want to do business with you. And now I'm going to talk about something that might seem very counterintuitive, but at a point in that process, you might feel like you're trying to persuade. And a little later, I'm going to describe what that feels like so you can spot it and stop it, and where you may need to do an unsell. Today's Business Accelerator call is for you if you really want to stop trying to drag someone into working with you and instead serve your potential client by having them step up wanting to do business with you. Major shift there. So when if you really want to stop that, in trying to persuade and drag somebody to do business with you and instead serve them by having them step up wanting to do business with you. I mean, right there, it feels different, doesn't it? Number two, this accelerator call is for you if you really want to discover when to reverse the selling process so people choose you instead of you chasing them. And number three, you want to discover when to deploy the strategy. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Today you're going to discover what the unsell really is, exactly when you would use an unsell with a prospect, number two. So what the unsell is, number two, exactly when you would use an unsell with a prospect, number three, how to unsell and respect your prospect's decision, And number four, one thing you must be, which makes all the difference in the world in the sales process. One thing you must be, not do, but one thing you must be, which makes all the difference in the world in the sales process. So you've heard me talk about the sales process and sealing the deal 98% of the time, but what is the unsell? What really is that? Well, I looked it up, what unsell was in the dictionary, and it said to dissuade from a belief in the desirability, value, wisdom, or truth of something. To dissuade from a belief in the desirability, value, wisdom, or truth of something. And it's not a broad philosophy in how to sell, but it is part of consultative selling. And when you work with your client together to develop the best possible solution for them, that's more consultative selling. Now, there's a lot of different techniques out there that are going to show you, you know, there's a lot of different selling techniques out there, some of which are manipulative. And what I like about consultative selling is that it involves asking questions about collaborating, even negotiating. And you're an advisor that sits on the same table as your client, working with them to be of help to them to get the results that they want to get. And that's one thing that I learned throughout my entire coaching certification. It's not about you. It's about them. It's about the person being coached through that process. And in the unsell, you basically step back and you let the client decide what to do. You don't push, and you ask open-ended questions about what the client needs. You present information that will help them make that decision. And you step back and let them decide. And interesting, what happens when you use the unsell at certain points is, you know, when you step back, it's more likely to pull the client in, especially when you compare it to more pushing techniques. I mean, just the act of pushing, imagine just pushing somebody, they're going to push back, right? But if you step back, they may listen closer. There's an old commercial about, I think it was GE's commercial, when GE speaks, everyone listens. And GE was speaking very softly, and people were leaning in to hear them. Well, it's kind of like that when you do an unsell. And it does require listening and questioning and solution building. Now, I'm not going to go into, you know, how to actively listen, because we've done that through the Entrepreneurial Edge system and through other high-content calls through the Success Circle. But I'm not going to focus on that today. I know I've written articles in the blogs before on that. But what I am going to cover is how to recognize when to do an unsell, what to do about it, and in some cases what to say in a way that honors your prospect where they are, just accepting where they are, and values the contributions of your work. I think that's really important, too, in understanding how to recognize an unsell, what to do about it, and what to say in a way that honors them and doesn't make them feel guilty about their decision, whatever their decision is. And you do want them to come to a decision. It doesn't matter what the decision is, but a decision that's best for them. First, I want to get started, and I want you just for a moment to picture a time where you were meeting with a prospect. And if you're just getting started in your business and you don't yet have a prospect, think about a time where you were trying to convince someone of something, okay? But think about, but I know most of you have started your businesses, you've had a prospect, you have some experience, and I want you to think about a time where you were meeting with a prospect and where you started to feel where you were convincing someone of doing business with you, that you were trying to convince someone to do business with you. A time where maybe you started to defend what you did and how you did it. Maybe you were explaining to the point of diminishing what you did, And sometimes that comes also in the area of pricing, where people will start to diminish what they do or defend what they do and start to feel like resistance. You were feeling resistance. And I want you to get a good picture in your mind of when that happened for you. Okay? And this is important because I want you to think about how it felt first and then also what you were thinking. And also what you were thinking. So a point where you were convincing someone to do business with you, you started to defend what you did. You explained to the point of maybe diminishing what you were doing, perhaps through pricing. Or number four, you started to feel resistance. Think about what you were feeling and what you were thinking. Now, in those cases, you may have been trying to drag somebody into doing business with you, but it serves your potential client to have them step up to the plate rather than you having to drag them over it. And I want you to point out that in your own experience so you can stop it or spot it, first of all, and then stop it from happening. And the guidelines that I'm going to give you, only you can determine when to use them. But I want to give you some ways to spot it, or stop that pushing, and start engaging in an unsell. And when I use an unsell, these are some examples for you when you would use an unsell with a prospect. Okay, when you start this feeling of convincing someone, you're defending a point that you're diminishing, you start to feel this resistance. And I'm also going to give you an example so that you can identify maybe even some gaps that you may have to fill in order to make an unsell effective. Effective in a way that also serves your client or your potential client. Now, remember that people don't, only about 4% of the people that are that hear about you the very first time will do business with you. And you've heard me say that. The other 96% of the time, you have to cultivate that relationship. Well, that has a play in here, too, even in the unsell. All right? And the unsell is basically stepping back and having the prospect make the decision. So you're not coming from a place of convincing someone or defending what you do or diminishing what you do, or, you know, that you start to feel a little bit of that resistance from them. Now, the first way to identify when that's happening and maybe when you want to do an unsell is maybe they're not pre-qualified. And that's number one. They're not pre-qualified, and they're asking you frequently asked questions. That might be a time to engage in an unsell. They may not even be ready to take the first step with you, either in your sales funnel, your sales process, because they are not even pre-qualified. Maybe they were referred by someone who didn't know about your business, and for myself and my students, I always recommend people go onto my website. It's often a pre-qualifier. It has an interview with me to see if there is a match with philosophically, with the process, with taking a systems approach. And if you don't have a website that helps to pre-qualify and actually draw in your ideal clients, then you may have some work to do, all right? But it can be an important tool to pre-qualify and to attract that ideal client. It also might be a very first step in your process. So when you meet with somebody, you don't try to do a sell, you do an unsell back to your website. And in some cases, if they're not pre-qualified because they were referred by someone, two, maybe they didn't go to your website, and number three, maybe they met you and they think they know what you do and they want to meet with you, but they're not quite sure, you're going to end up spending a lot of time with them if they're not somehow pre-qualified. So an unsell would look like, have you been to my website yet? Or here, go here specifically to read this interview to see if there's a match. Okay, that would be an important place to start. And again, it honors them where they're at. They're not quite sure about you, and you're not quite sure if they're your ideal client yet, and they can help pre-qualify. Number two, when to use an unsell is when you feel a potential client's resistance and you realize that you've started to pursue them. And again, this is an internal feeling that you're going to feel. Some people, you know, based on just how they're naturally wired, they really try to be motivational. And I'll give you some examples. You know, if you're, let's say you're a chiropractor and, you know, the person has expressed interest in wanting to maybe lose weight. And if you're the motivational kind, you're naturally hardwired that way, maybe when they are feeling that resistance, but you want to be motivational, you're getting invested. You're getting overly invested in their outcomes. But you're feeling that resistance. We can do this. And you end up trying to push them into a program. And maybe you say, hey, I'll meet you before you go to work. You can have an adjustment. I'll call you every day to make sure you're taking your vitamins. And we'll even work out together every night for an hour. You know, you're investing a lot for them. You're pulling them into something. And they're going to resist that. But maybe they go along with you because they want to be nice. Okay? Now you're just being a nag for them, right? And they're also, you're not giving them what I refer to as PAR. P-A-A-R. Power, accountability, authority, and responsibility over the results that they want to achieve. And this is important whether or not you are a consultant, a coach, a chiropractor, because if you take away someone's personal power and you're doing it for them, in some cases, and some consultants you do things for other people, but if they're not enrolling in it and you're doing it for them, you're going to find yourself enrolled into the results more than they are. You've also, in some cases, as a coach and in some other professions, have taken away their personal power. So what happens? You take away their personal power by forcing them or pushing them into it. They, number one, may be resentful. And number two, you're not allowing them to take responsibility for their outcomes. So what happens in the long term? They may achieve the desired outcome. They may, despite all that, but they'll fall back into any bad habits. Why? Because they weren't fully enrolled in the process in the first place. You know, if you're naturally wired, by the way, to be very proactive, and maybe you're a high dominant, and, you know, you're, let's go, let's move on this, you may want to push, and you may get some resistance. And I'm not saying do the unsell automatically when you see somebody having that resistance, because, again, only you know when that happens. But if you're inserting yourself into becoming more invested than they are, then the results are only going to, you know, lead to where they might feel resentful and they're not fully enrolled. So, again, really be careful of when you're becoming more enrolled in the process, especially when you start feeling that resistance from them, because they have to be invested in that process. Now, this is especially effective with one-on-one sessions, right, when you have somebody that you're working with one-on-one. But what about situations where there are more proposals? Consultants typically might get some resistance when there's proposals. And again, there's still a process that you can follow even in an unsell. But there are some things that you should do automatically. And here's what I have found, where sometimes the consultant is not doing everything they can in getting that proposal. And here are some things you can do, and then I'm going to show you kind of the unsell after that. Number one, you want to develop that relationship with your key contact and key decision maker. So let's say you're submitting a proposal. You're one of four or five different companies that are submitting a proposal. You should develop that relationship with your key contact and key decision makers, right? Number two, you want to deliver the proposal how they're hardwired. You know, almost nobody does this. Almost nobody does this. I had a large contract I was going after, and I knew that the people that I was delivering this contract were all high dominance. They all liked their information in bullet points. They like to see outcomes-based language. How did I do that? An executive summary that in no more than four or five points laid out what it was, laid out the process in bullet points, and you know, and eventually I got that contract. But remember to understand how the person wants to receive their information. I'll tell you about the unsell in just a second. But you first want to be able to do this in that process, even in a proposal process. But and if you're not versed in how to spot their hardwiring, you also may want to dip into the first step of mastering your inner entrepreneur through the Entrepreneurial Edge System self-study program or the Seal the Deal 98% of the Time self-study program. So those are two resources available for you to help really define and spot behaviorally who your audience is. Number three, you want to deliver on exactly what you said you were going to deliver on when you're doing a contract or submitting a contract. You want to check for delivery halfway through the contract if you get that contract. And number five, you want to follow up right after to secure the sale. But at some point in that proposal process, you may have to deploy that unsell. All right, you may have to deploy that unsell. And so pay attention to see if there's any resistance for the client. And if there's any resistance for the client, realize that you may have started to pursue them. And is there a way to reverse that sales process so they are interested in you? And it's a very fine balance when you're going through a proposal process, because you have many people involved versus one-on-one. So by far, it's a lot easier when you have one-on-one to spot that. It's harder when you do have a lot of people involved, but I wanted to address the what you should do in the proposal process, because I think where most people end up missing out is number two, delivering the proposal how people are naturally hardwired. So that's a really key component of this. And when you do, you may not have to do an unsell. They may be pursuing you simply because you're delivering that information the way they want to receive it. All right, number three in ways you want to use an unsell is when you want to make sure the potential client is really committed and valuing the work and the outcome they said that they wanted. You know, it's interesting that this happened years ago, but a person called me indicating that, you know, she was referred by somebody I knew very well. Okay, so she called me up. She said, so-and-so sent me. I said, great, you know, and I shared with her. She said she was interested in engaging a coach, and I shared with her my process of a discovery session, which is it's a session where I meet one-on-one with the individual, and they have different types of assessments that I do to help them through their process. And it really is a discovery session where they learn more about themselves, what their current state is, what are some of the things that they're struggling with, where do they want to go, why haven't they achieved those things. And I founded this process and have used it time and time again with great success throughout all my through my career. And it also helps to pre-qualify some of the tire kickers, people that, you know, maybe just searching around for pricing rather than really getting some outcomes based. So it's really helped me too in identifying my ideal clients and pre-qualifying out those tire kickers. So when she called me, she asked, I shared with her, this is the first step, is this discovery session. And she emailed me back and she said, well, I just want to talk with you for a few minutes. Now, normally I might say, great, I've got 15 minutes here on the calendar. Or I might say, well, this is the first step in my process. What questions do you have? But I gave in and didn't go through my normal process. Because she was a friend, she was referred by a friend. That was mistake number one. If you have a tried and true process that helps the client, use it. If you have a process that helps the client, then use it. And if your gut is telling you, I shouldn't do this, then go with that gut. Now, while my process is structured, what I have found, even in just one meeting, is that they get much further ahead, and in some cases, it just takes that one meeting. Not any other programs. Just the one meeting has gotten them further ahead, and that serves the client, right? That serves the client. And of course, I do charge for this, and it's part of the process. And after she called, I said, okay, we'll meet over the phone just for a short time. And over an hour later, after, she was obviously very frustrated in her current situation, she didn't want to pursue anything. She was very much in a fog, and she just simply wasn't ready. She was just in a place. At that point, I realized where she was, and I engaged the unsell. And I said, look, when you're ready, let's schedule a discovery session, and just honored where she was at the moment. And she continued to struggle for many years. She never did reengage, and she did continue to struggle many years. But it was a point where, first of all, she wasn't invested. She already made up her mind not to invest in the discovery session, and nor was she interested in doing that. She was going to do it her way, which is fine. That's fine. But honoring where they are, and it might be a situation where you just need to let go, do an unsell, and allow them to be where they are. In some cases, now I've had this on the flip side, in some cases I have had people also call up a little bit later and say, I'm ready now, let's do that discovery session. Great, and we move forward. But it respects them for where they are, and in some cases they're going to come back to you. Other times they're just going to move on. But that's either way, they helped make their decision. They're not in a think-about-it mode. They have made a decision either way. And that's really key, is helping them make their decision. And number four, when you want to use the unsell, is when maybe you need to be kind of that superhero for your team. Let's say you have a client that's dictating, or maybe very difficult customer service. Nothing is making them happy. Your staff is spending an inordinate amount of time with them. There may be a situation you have to come back to them and do the unsell. All right, saying maybe this is not the right program for you. Now, how do you and what do you say? How do you unsell and really respect that prospect's decision? Well, there's different ways that you can do that. Number one, as I said, maybe if they're not pre-qualified, you want to do the unsell. And here's a great time to send them to your free stuff. Send them to your free stuff. So here's where you need to know what your sales funnel is. or your sales process. Now, one of my a couple things that I have that are free is my lead generation system. You know, they can download a video, they can download an ebook, and that's at freebusinessplanformat.com. And they can go there and they can download any of the free things. It tells them all about a systems approach, so they can get enrolled in whether or not they want to work together. I also have something called the Knowledge Center. And the Knowledge Center allows them to have previous teleseminars and webinars that I have recorded that I keep in my Knowledge Center, and I simply refer them, especially if they're not pre-qualified and they don't know what I do. Well, here, go to my Knowledge Center, and this will give you a good idea. Now, sometimes they get that free stuff, and that's great, and they stay on my list for a while, and I don't hear from them for a little while until they finally purchase something. Maybe it's something, a success tool, or one of the self-study programs, or they come to the three-day intensive. But later on, they can still get my information. They're getting pre-qualified. We're establishing that relationship. But sometimes, you know, if a person's not pre-qualified, you want to do an unsell. You don't want to immediately go into that sales process. Number two, you want to put the decision back in their court. I'll give you a great example of when I did this. There was an occasion where I spoke, and a gentleman said that he was interested in doing business with me. He had worked with other coaches, and I spoke to him briefly about the discovery session, and I also sent him a link to that to find out what that discovery session was all about. It gives us an opportunity without a huge commitment to speak, right? And when I didn't get confirmation that he signed up for that discovery session, that really was my first clue of his level of engagement. All right, so if you have a process that you have and the person doesn't follow through, that should be kind of a red flag on their level of engagement, potentially. Now, there are several assessments during that discovery process that can help my prospects determine where they are and kind of where they need to go. Well, he didn't sign up for it, but he called at that follow-up time that we had scheduled. Now, he also didn't go to my website, which we talked about. He didn't sign up for that discovery session. And I can tell when he did call me that he was really hemming and hawing, because he also mentioned that he had a mindset of working with different coaches, and while they were successful, they really didn't focus on financial results. Most people that are coaches focus on either the developmental end or another area. They don't do both and look at the whole like I do with my systems approach. So he had some preconceived notions of working with coaches. And I said, well, since you didn't sign up for the discovery session, and what I do is I give them one more chance. And I said, how about a follow-up call? But really, in that follow-up call, we identified a date and time. He still didn't sign up for that discovery session, did call me for that follow-up time. At that point, I asked him, did you take a look at the website or the success stories? And he was even asking me questions that were available in my FAQs, the frequently asked questions. So I knew by the fact that I was answering some routine questions that he would have picked up on my website, that he didn't do any of that. He wasn't truly engaged. He already had a mindset and almost a decision. And it was at that point that I went into the unsell. And I can, you know, and basically said that, how about this? You know, I know you said you didn't have a chance to go to the website. Go there if you're interested. You know, sign up for my free, business growth tips, my weekly e-zine through the accelerator, and we can keep in touch with that. And he's like, great, I'll look at your site. You know, and it was a series of questions that he answered. But when I felt like, you know, he was not doing his homework, he wasn't truly invested in the process, I could tell just from the discussion, it was then that I went into the unsell. And so put the decision back in their court. Number three, if they're not a yes, you also may push them towards a no. Now, for some of you, this sounds counterintuitive, but it can actually work. You might say something like, after you've had a conversation with somebody, it sounds like this is not a good time for you to do the program. I'm going to suggest we don't move forward and that you call my assistant when the time is right for you, and she'll be happy to fill you in on any updated pricing and space availability then. How does that sound to you? And see what the reaction is to that. Or you might say something like, I'll be happy to place you on our waiting list, so contact us in January when you're ready, and we'll see if there's an opening at that time. So that's another option. Here's another one. Don't worry. There's no pressure. This is a really good one, by the way, the next one I'm going to do. Don't worry, there's no pressure. A lot of my clients are speakers, or they speak as part of their marketing mix. And at the very end of their speaking engagements, they offer a product for sale at the back of the room. Well, a lot of times you offer a program at a reduced tuition in a way that people can work with you, or maybe you do it because you're speaking for an organization and they want you to give a special rate for their membership, and you're happy to do that. But people will come back to you at the back of the room and speak to you, and sometimes you'll get somebody who's undecided. First of all, you want to ask them what the barrier is. Is it timing or is it price? Is it timing or is it price? And find out. So if it's pricing, if it's cash flow for them, you know, you can solve that by offering an installment program, right? Installment payment options for them. But if, you know, if they say, no, it's just a really bad time, you know, and you're getting that resistance, you can always say, you know, you can always get the program at a later date. They're still well worth it, even at the full price. All right, it's honoring where they are, letting them know they don't have to take advantage of it right now, right then. And your programs are still, they're valued at a higher price, and they're well worth it at the higher price, and you sell them at that higher price, and you do, through your website. But if they want to, if they want to decide later, they can still get it. It's still going to be available to them. And the other way if they're not a yes and push them towards a no, and again, you're only interested in making a decision, not to think about it. We all have a lot of things to think about. It's either a yes or a no, and either way it's fine. But have the courage and respect for them and your work to see if they bounce, because they may bounce back. Well, it sounds like this is not the right time for you to do the program, but I just have one question. I know you need to solve this somehow. What are you going to do instead? What are you going to do instead? And that's just a simple question that you can ask them. And the one thing that I think is important that you must be, which really makes all the difference in the world in the sales process, and Lisa Sasevich says this, and she says, be committed but not attached. Be committed but not attached. That's very powerful. I want you to think about that for a moment, because imagine doing what is absolutely best for the client without attachment. Without attachment. And if you're attached to their decision, there's kind of this desperation, and the prospect is going to feel it. But it doesn't matter. You know, I've been asked for names of my competitor, and I've given it to people. and that's fine if they want to look at other options. give it to them. And again, they may bounce back and say, you know, I've looked at other people. Now, if you have a feeling of attachment or of that desperation and holding on to their decision and you don't want them to say no and you want them to say yes, there's an attachment there and there's a little bit of desperation attached to that, then you probably don't have good cash flow yet and there's some action that you're going to want to take. So if you're finding yourself very attached to that decision, really look at that. Do you have enough cash flow? And oftentimes the answer is no when people are so attached to it. So here's some things that you can do. Number one, review the passive, leveraged, and recurring models discussed in step two of the Entrepreneurial Edge System, the systematizing and monetizing, because it's going to show you how to create passive income. You know, you create it once and it sells over and over. Or even leveraged income, where you work one-to-many versus just one-on-one. And how to really leverage your business. And there's many, many different options. And number three, look at the recurring option, ways people can work with you on an ongoing basis that allows you to have that recurring income that's happening every month, every week, however you structure that. But there's different types of recurring models where people can work with you. So think about that. You could even do a subscription. Okay. And number two, you want to get your mindset around abundance. You want to get your mindset around abundance. So if you find yourself very attached and you don't want to do an unsell, think about the principle of conscious thought, which says what you hold in your conscious thought, you invite more of it. So what are you holding in your conscious thought? What are you believing, your principle of belief? What you believe and expect to happen, then it will happen. The principle of control, what you being 100% accountable and being in, you know, and accepting responsibility for everything that has happened and everything that will happen. All right, the principle of control. And the principle of focus, what you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows and increases. What you focus on seems real. What you focus on, you ultimately become. And if you're focusing on not having enough and you're so attached to that decision, you may want to take a look at that principle of focus, what you focused on. You know, and there's this expression, you know, if not this, something else, something better. But if you're attached to a decision, think about that. Are you doing what's in the best interest of your client? And number three, if you have the feeling of attachment or desperation to that and you don't want to do an unsell, think about revving up your activities. Revving up your activities, and that's number three. You may not have a strong enough, number one, lead generation system. So if your lead generation system is not in place, then you're going to want to put it in place as soon as possible so you get a consistent supply of pre-qualified prospects that you're continuously working on cultivating that relationship with. All right, so that is a major priority in getting your lead generation system up and running. And you want that pipeline of people waiting for you so you don't become dependent on their decision. If it's a yes, great. If it's a no, that's great too. Because you're going to move on and they're going to move on. But they've come to a decision and you're committed but not attached. And when you do, and when you do implement these, you can move on so much more quicker because you're helping the next person, helping the next person. You have this consistent flow that's happening in your business. Consistent flow. You're committed, but not attached. And as the person says yes, you work with them, you move forward, and then you have that consistent flow through your lead generation system. You're pre-qualifying people through your website. And you have that consistent flow. So just to summarize, today is... Look at that feeling that is attached, and when you may be convincing somebody to do business with you, if you find yourself defending or diminishing or even finding somebody that's resisting, make sure you want to do an unsell, maybe if they're not pre-qualified. When you feel that resistance and you start to pursue them. So if you start to always call them and they're not calling you, that's a good indication of maybe an unsell. Always look to setting that call too. Sometimes people don't always set a specific date and time and don't make it clear who's calling who. So you might want to tighten that up in your process to make it very clear on who's calling who and at what number, at what time, what date. Okay, when it's grounded in a date, it happens, right? Think about that. Is your situation one-on-one or is it more of a proposal process? Again, you might want to do things a little differently if it's a proposal process versus one-on-one. But the unsell may still apply in cases where you're doing all the pursuing and, you know, if you're a commodity in that process, you might want to think about that and think about how you are, you know, if you want to do that kind of a process. If that is, then think about how you can further develop that relationship with people. And again, you may want to do an unsell, especially when there's a specific area of the contract where there is not agreement. You may want to do an unsell. Also make sure that they're really committed and valuing your work and that you're not overcommitting to them. And if you have a problematic client who may be becoming more of a customer service issue and you can be a hero to your staff, and you may need to unsell in that case. So think about, are they pre-qualified, how you put the decision back in their court, and have them decide, and push them through to a no and see if there is a bounce back by using some of the techniques. Maybe happy to place you on our waiting list. Don't worry, there's no pressure. You can still get it at a later date at the full price. It's well worth it at the full price. Encourage and respect them. See if they bounce. And, again, making sure that you have all those components in your business, too, like an interview or a Q&A or frequently asked questions on your website, free lead generation system or other free things. In my case, it was a knowledge center that you can send them to, especially if they're not pre-qualified. Make sure you work on the different cash flows into your business, whether it's passive, recurring, or leveraged income in your business so you're not attached to whatever that decision is. And ask yourself very honestly, am I attached to this decision? Because some of you, you know, do wonderful, wonderful work. You care about your clients and you want the best for them, but if they don't want it as much as you do, then they're not going to be fully enrolled and see the value in what you have to offer. And so those are important things to remember during the unsell. I just want to remind you as well that if you have any questions about today's program, the Business Accelerator, call to email info@accelerateassociates.com, E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com, and code your question in the subject line Q&A about the unsell Business Accelerator call and list your question, and we'll be happy to answer for that for you on the Q&A call, which is happening on Tuesday, November 22nd at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We may ask you to also come on the call live so that you can ask your question, because if you have that question, chances are someone else does too. Let's see what else. And if you joined us late, remember that the Business Growth Teleseminar, How to Go from Startup to Success Story, is happening on Wednesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. And you can get there on the events page of accelerateassociates.com. And look forward to hearing from all of you on your questions. You can submit any question you have, whether it's about this call or about any other questions about growing your business or pieces of the Entrepreneurial Edge system as you work through the self-study program. And you can also email those to info@accelerateassociates.com. I know that we always give you high content so that you can implement right away, but remember to also add those initiatives to your business blueprint. That's an incredible part of making sure that these high content calls, these business accelerator calls, and the strategies and tactics that I recommend get implemented. It doesn't have to be right away, and this is not a perfect process right out of the chute. You're going to have to identify when this comes up, but when you do, you will be more prepared to do the unsell when the time comes. And so this is something that you might want to, put in your hip pocket, practice, saying the different things if you like the scripts, or just even being aware and spotting when that unsell is most appropriate for you. Because when you can do that, you can actually reverse the sales process and they want to do business with you rather than you pursuing them. And those are some keys to remember as you go through this process. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on today's call. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember to join us for the future calls using your recurring function of your calendar every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Business Accelerator calls, and the fourth Tuesday of each month for the Q&A calls, again at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, that's it for today, and until next time, create a great life. Bye now.